Tell me about yourself. How you been doing? You been doing good? What's been going on? Anything going on with you? You know, when we don't see each other for a while, we ask those questions, how you doing? What's going on? Tell me about yourself. I'm going to preach today on that subject, tell me about your selfie. You know that word selfie has now become a popular word. Last year, we're told it was used more than any other word last year. That is a new word. And matter of fact, I saw yesterday where now they're teaching dogs about selfies, how to take a picture of themselves. Do you realize in New York City, you pay $240 for 90 minutes lessons on how to teach your dog how to take a picture of itself? Our world is infatuated with this term, selfie. And so I thought about that and prayed about it, and the Lord laid on my heart, tell me about your selfie. And speaking of telling me about yourself and selfie, I heard about a lady who had been married for a number of years. Her husband died, and she was a widow, and she had been a widow for 20 years plus, and anyway, she wanted to write a book about dating. And so she wrote a book about dating, and she said in the book there were five major rules or five major guidelines that everybody ought to use, that is women, for dating men. Here's rule number one. She said rule number one is the man that you date needs to be a man of integrity, a man of honesty. Number two. Rule number two, the man that you date ought to be a man of not only integrity and honesty, but a man of sense of humor. You ought to have a man that has a sense of humor. Hello, Brother Curtis. Number three, you ought to have not only a man that is a man of integrity and a man of sense of humor, but number three, a man who has some money. Can I get somebody to say amen? And somebody have some money. Number four. The fourth rule or the fourth guideline for dating a man, according to this widow, was not only to be a man of integrity and a man of humor, and thirdly, a man who had some money, but number four, a man who could fix things around the house. How many women would say amen to that? A man that can fix things around the house. Rule number five is to make sure none of these men know each other. You'll get it later, all right? We're talking about selfie today, all right? If I can take you or you can take me to these places, I believe I'll tell a lot about yourself, where you've been, what's been going on, and how you're doing. And I want to invite you to please take with me your copy of the Word of God and turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look with me please today, this morning, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And the title is, Tell Me About Your Selfie. And here are three directions the Lord quickened in my heart to share with you today in regards to telling me if you are in the will of God, or maybe you're not in the will of God, or if you are in fellowship with the Lord, or maybe not in fellowship with the Lord. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we began reading in chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians. If you're one of those that take notes, and by the way, I'm glad we've got a little sheet now that is in your bulletin. You can just take that sheet of paper out and write down some notes. Let me just pause there to say, I was so blessed yesterday. One of our dear men that's here this morning sent me an email, and he said this. He said, Brother Pastor, I've had a hard week. I've worked all week. I've had some long hours. I'm going through a stressful time. I've got some dear friends that are facing some hardships in life, afflictions in life. And anybody ever had a week like that or a time like that? Anyway, this dear brother said, you know, I just wanted to tell you that you shared a message months ago. It was back there in November of 2013. But he said, I pulled out my notes. Listen to me. Pulled out the notes from 2013 in November. And he said, the Spirit of God, he didn't say it in these words, but anyway, said the Spirit of God used that message to encourage my heart this week. Well, folks, I don't know what that might mean to you, but that sure did bless my heart to know that God's Word is just so powerful. And I appreciated it so much, Brother J.R., for the for the email that you send. What a blessing to know that the Word of God is taking root. I tell you, it's just such a blessing. Because often we can't tell from a human perspective what all the Holy Spirit's doing in your life. I know that God honors His Word. Can I get somebody to say amen? The Bible says His Word will not return Him void or empty. But it sure does give us some encouragement, Brother Kenneth, and it sure does give us some encouragement, Brother Russell, and some of you teachers, Vicki, and others who are here, Sister Carolyn. It sure does give us some encouragement when we see some tangible evidences and we hear about testimonies, what God is doing in the lives of His people. And so I just wanted to share that by way of introduction. Here's where we're going. There are three places that I want to carry you today by the help of the Holy Spirit. Really three directions to tell how's it been going. How you doing? Tell me about yourself. Here's number one. The first place we're going to go. We'll see it in a moment in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6. And it's this. Number one. Who are you following? Who are you following? We'll see it real clearly. You can tell me a lot about yourself when we tell us who are we following, number one. Number two, not only who are we following, but what are others saying about you? What are others clearly in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8? And then finally, where are you heading? Where are you heading? We'll see that just crystal clear in verse 9 and 10. And so, you see, let me just pause there and simply say this. The reason the Lord has me to share that is I give you the outline right up front. Here's where we're going in the message so you can follow along with me. Your train of thought, unless the Holy Spirit changes our mind. I've been praying over this passage this week and I've shared with you before that I want a fresh word from God. Yes, I've had the privilege of preaching 1,700 sermons, messages here at New Rocky Creek. Actually, 1,707. That's just on Sunday morning, Sunday night. But still, I want a word from the Lord. I don't feel comfortable and I don't have a peace about unless God quickens in my heart. I want God to give me a fresh word every week. So I'm saying this not to try to draw attention myself, but let you know how serious I take this responsibility, breaking the bread of life and preaching and teaching the Word of God. Spend hours every week praying, asking the Lord what needs will be there, and then praying and studying and researching and reading and crying out to God for fresh oil and for His anointing every week. And so I thank God for His grace for calling us. And I praise God for His wonderful, infallible, inerrant, unbreakable word. Glory be to God. And so we're looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We began, please, in verse number 1. But as we began to progress through the text, you'll notice this church happened to be founded by Paul on his second missionary journey. And we don't hear a lot about the church, but some of you that are teaching Sunday school this morning, how many teachers do we have in the crowd this morning? You'll cover this particular church, how they gave of their resources, Thessalonica and Philippi and Berean, those churches in Macedonia and these other churches in Achaia. That is, Paul went to Corinth and was talking about this offering that was taken up for these saints in Jerusalem. Now, having said that, this church was founded again on that second missionary journey. And we don't know a lot about it, but we do know this, that when Paul went, he reasoned with them in the scriptures. He's doing what we call preaching, reasoning with them in the scripture. And the Word of God declares in the book of Acts chapter 17, if you want to find out the origin of the church of Thessalonica, you can find out that they turned the world upside down, those believers. I mean, the Word of God was growing and the power of God was real and people were being saved. And thus the devil wasn't happy. Nonetheless, there's a little background on this particular church, the Church of Thessalonica. One of the themes, however, I might add, is a message on the second coming of Christ. How many believe that Jesus is coming again? Oh, yes, He is. It is certainly nearer than it's ever been. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's begin in verse 1. If you would you stand as we read the wonderful Word of God together? If you're able, let's read the wonderful living Word of God together. And we began in verse number 1 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. The message is this: tell me about yourself. Tell me about yourself. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the order here. Grace always comes before peace. You can't have peace without God's grace. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you got peace today. And I hope you've experienced God's grace today. Thank God His grace is sufficient. Verse 2. And we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Paul's commending the church of Thessalonica. Your work of faith. Look what else he says in verse 3. And labor of love. This was a loving church. This was a church that had extraordinary faith. And then notice, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, that is, God's picked us out. He's chosen us. Aren't you glad? We didn't choose Him, but He chose us. Look at verse number 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. I'm glad that God demonstrates His power. I'm glad, thank God, God confirms His word. Praise His holy name. Notice again, verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. Now here's where we pick up right here in verse number 5 and 6. Really, verse 6. Underline it. Note it. Notice. And ye became followers of us. That word for some reason registered in my heart. Followers of us. And of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. So, now look at verse 7. So that you were examples. You see, what are people saying about you? You were examples. Paul's saying this church, these believers, this body of Christ, these blood-washed children of God. You were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Wouldn't that be wonderful if... And thank God, God is using the testimony of the saints and the blood-washed children of God in New Rocky Creek Baptist Church. I know He is. I was telling Nancy just a moment ago, let me pause right there and I'll read a little bit later, but let me just share this quick testimony and we'll move on. I was out visiting last week and in the afternoon, and I had no idea whose shower was going on here at the church. A lot of things it's hard for me to keep up with everything going on. I knew something was going on here at the church. Well, I was happened to be at this house. The lady came up and said, boy, I really appreciate the time. It was a family in the community and they were having a baby. It's the Stewart family, and I just happened to be at their house. I had no idea that the church, New Rocky Creek, was reaching out to them and blessing them and being a blessing. Well, folks, I don't know what that meant to you, but I can tell you what it meant to me. It was just a blessing to hear. The Lord had led me to go to the house to witness and talk and so forth and so on. Anyway, come to find out, that very day, the church had something special for this particular family. And I say, thank God, appreciate that. Nancy, keep reading now. Verse number 6 again. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word of God in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 7. So that you are examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Look at this. Man, your testimony is living on. Hey, people are hearing about it. Ah, glory to God. But also in every place. Doesn't that encourage you? Every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad. So that we need not to speak anything to people know about New Rocky Creek in Jasper County. Not for our glory, but for God's glory. Doesn't it bless you when you go down to the store every once in a while? I'm at the nursing home or down at the funeral home or somewhere in Monticello. Somebody come up to me and they'll say, you go to New Rocky Creek Baptist Church? And I say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, or say, yes, I do. And then normally, not always, but normally there's something like, well, I hear there's things going on down there. And I say, yeah, God's doing some things. Praise His holy name. We need you to pray for us. And that sure does bless my heart. It sure does encourage me. And I say, to God be the glory. Keep the fire of faith burning in the saints of God. Look at verse number 9. For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had into you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Ah, praise God for that. We all were in going to hell one way or another, but thank God for His grace. He snatched us out and brought us into the straight and the narrow way. Look at verse 10. And to wait. Here's what He's saying to the saints, and here's what He's saying to us today. He said, not only we turn from idols to serve the true living God. Look at verse 10. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead. Wow, I'm glad I serve a living God. Aren't you glad? A living God. He raised Him from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. This is the Word of God. And all God's people said, Amen. Our Father, thank You for the bread of life. Jesus, we thank You. You are the living bread that came down from heaven. You are, Lord, the living Word that became the written Word. And the written Word becomes the preached Word. And the preached Word becomes the fleshed out Word. Oh God, give us hunger and thirst today to receive the incorruptible, indestructible Word that's forever set in heaven. I thank You for the people that have gathered today. I recognize my inadequacy, my insufficiency, my nothingness outside of You and apart from You. But I praise You. In You I have everything. And Jesus, it's You that saved me. It's You that called me. It's You, Lord, that's working in us as a church. I pray now You give us greater influence. I pray, precious Lord, for Your glory. Thou be the gospel going forth in this dark and this desperate world. And then, Lord, You'll continue to use men and women, boys and girls, reaching out in a desperately hopeless world with the good news that Jesus, You still live, You still reign, and You're coming one day. Thank You for what You're going to do today, for encouraging Your people and challenging Your people. And Lord, we love You now and praise You for the blood of the Lamb. We praise You for the cross. We bless You for the empty tomb. I praise You, God. Satan is overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Now, Lord, be glorified. Meet every need to those that are hurting. I pray, God, You'll surely, by Your might and by Your power, You'll lift up those that are discouraged today. You'll breathe the breath of heaven on us. And Father God, that those, our Lord, that need to return, and Lord, that have been wayward and worldly, and God, just need to know that You love them and You love us, and You've got a great plan, and You've got a great eternal destiny for all of us who trust in You. We trust You to, God, accomplish Your will in these brief moments, and we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. Number one, look at verse number 6 again. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the words in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. You tell me about these three directions where you're heading. I can tell you a lot about yourself. Tell me about yourself. Number one, who are you following? Who are you following? And in regards to following, may I suggest to you there's four options we can follow today. You probably and I fit in one of these four categories. Number one, we might be following selfie. Number one, self. Number two, Satan. Number three, society. And number four, the Savior. Number one, self. Who are you following? You see, our world is enamored. Our world is infatuated. Our world is consumed about self. Me, myself, and I. We know that because you can look out in our community in a day like today on Sunday and see this all about myself. And it's all about what I want to do and where I want to go and how I want to spend my life. But wait a minute, that's contrary to the scripture. May I remind you, a man, by the way, this man was one of the wisest men that ever lived. I didn't say he was perfect. How many know that nobody's perfect, amen? Only Jesus is flawless. He's without blemish. But this man was one of the wisest men that ever lived. And you know what he said? I want to hear from somebody that's a wise man. You know who it was? Solomon. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. He said this, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Not half of it. Not just some of it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. But in all of your ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct your path. Don't trust in your own abilities. Don't trust in your own intuition. Don't trust in your own plans. But rather commit them to the Lord. Rather depend upon Him. Rather rely upon Him. Rather rest in Him. You see, Jeremiah put it this way. He said in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Paul reiterated the same truth that I'm trying to convey, though it is not adequate. Here's what Paul said. He said, "I know that in my flesh dwells no good thing." Romans 7 and 18. And then he said this in Romans chapter 7. He said, "Here's the battle that I'm facing." Here's the battle that all of us are facing, by the way. That I will do, I find myself not doing. And that I don't want to do, I find myself doing it. Oh, wretched man that I am. That is, there's some things that I know I need to stop doing. Hello? There's some things that I know I need to really not be doing. There's some attitudes. There's some responses on my part that I know that aren't good and wholesome. But then there's some things that I know I really need to start doing, but I just don't have the power to do it. I know I need to spend more time in the Word. How many agree with me? I know I need to spend more time at the feet of Jesus. How many say, "Yes, Brother Pastor"? I know I need to turn the television off and just get in the secret place of the Most High. I know I need to turn the computer off and just let God minister to my soul. But for some reason or another, there's just something in me that wrestles with that. Number one is selfing. By the way, Paul said, "You were followers. You're followers, Church of Thessalonians, until..." I want you to see it one more time. Verse 6. Look at this one more time in verse 6. He said, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word," verse 6, "in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." Let me just tell you what the Lord was, the direction God was leading me on this matter. And it has to do with leadership. There's a lot said about leadership today. A lot said about leadership today. But what we often do not realize is that leadership comes as a result of followership. I need somebody to help me there. Followership. You see, you won't lead and I won't lead unless we're first following. That's right. Let me clarify. I remember a few years ago, I had a privilege of going down to Monticello. They asked me to speak on the subject of leadership in the high school. What a privilege. And then a young man came up to me just a few weeks ago and he said, "Would you speak on the subject of leadership down at the junior high school?" I said, "I would love to." I hadn't been yet, but he said, "Soon, we're going to invite you to come." And so I said, "Well, bless God, I'll be glad to." But you know what? Listen to me, beloved. Jesus, how many believe that Jesus was the greatest leader that ever lived? Contrary to opinion, the greatest leader was not President Reagan. The greatest leader was not President Bush. The greatest leader certainly is not President Obama. Can I get a witness? But anyway, Jesus was the greatest leader that ever lived. I remember taking a course on this matter of leadership, having to read about 2,000 pages and write up to about 100 pages on the subject. And in this particular course back in 2007, I remember we had to read, listen to me, both secular books on leadership as well as spiritual books on leadership. Here's what I noticed. I'm not a secularist at all. I believe that God's word has the answer. However, I did notice that there were some common ingredients in both. There were common ingredients in both. But here's the conclusion God laid on my heart in regards to the leadership of Jesus. Here it is. Jesus didn't come to do his own will, but to do the Father's will. He wasn't leading because he was by himself. He was leading because he was following his Father. Do you get that? Do you get that? Here's two conclusions. God quickened in my heart. All this study of 16 weeks and reading thousands of pages and writing on the subject. Two thoughts. It condensed to this. Now listen to me. Y'all listen to me. Y'all look at me. You don't think you're a leader, but you are. Every mom in here is a leader. Every daddy in here is a leader. Every grandparent here is a leader. Every grandmother, grandfather is a leader. You are influencing people whether you know it or not. Somebody talk to me. You know that you are influencing people. Leadership is influence. And so don't just think this is for those in the CEO role. No, this is for you and for me. We are placed in a position to use our influence for the glory of God. Wait a minute. Jesus, two things. Number one, he was led of the Spirit. And number two, he was obedient to the Father. Man, you could condense it all down. He was led by the Spirit and he was obedient unto the Father. Jesus said, Father, let this cup pass from me, but not my will. What? But your will be done. Not my will, but your will. Let's say it together. Not my will, but your will be done. He wanted to please his Father. He was out to do his Father's will. Question, are you out to please your Father? Are you out to do the will of the Father? Isn't that your heartbeat? Watch this. As you follow Jesus, I want you to know we first must follow him and then God gives us influence. But when we try to go on our own, that influence is just not going to be there. Followership is vital for leadership. And by the way, Jesus died 2,000 years ago. Hey, do you know anybody else that has influenced our world greater than he has and is still influencing our world? I do not know another that has shaken and transformed lives like Jesus, and he continues to do that. You see, Jesus' influence is greater than Buddha. It's greater than Muhammad. It's greater than Gandhi. It's greater than every other world leader. Jesus, the greatest leader that ever lived. Number one, we can be following selfie. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, watch this. You got to deny yourself and take up what? A cross. We don't like that part. We'd rather leave that part out. But you can't leave that part out. If you want to be a devoted follower of the Lamb of God. And if you want having that influence, you got to take up a cross. He had his cross. We have our cross. Denying ourselves. Write this verse down. Luke chapter 9 verse 23. Jesus said, he that finds a life shall lose it. He said we're to take it up daily. Write this verse down. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 38 and 39. Jesus said this. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Whosoever finds his life shall lose it. Whosoever loses life for my sake shall find it. Isn't it true? Come on, talk to me now. Talk to me. Isn't it true? The devil says, well, if you give up all this stuff, you won't have fun. If you know, God's going to make your life miserable. Doesn't the devil lie to us and say stuff like that? You can't trust God. If you have to give up this and give up that and do this, you will be miserable in life. Wrong. Wrong. God knows, watch this, God knows that when we say no to ourselves and yes to him, that he is more wiser than, how many believe that God's more wiser than we are? How many believe that he can carry you places you can't go on your own? How many believe that God can do things in your life that you can't do and I can't do? That's why we can trust him. That's why we can depend on him. Wait a minute, I'm going somewhere. Don't cut me off yet. Jesus said, if you want to follow him, you got a cross to bear. But guess what? Guess what his cross turned into? It turned into a crown. Paul put it this way. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, brother and sister, what we say no to here in this life, God will add 100 times in eternity. And even in this life, you got to see that. You got to see that. Jesus became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But wait a minute. He had to taste death for every man. He had to become sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But because he was becoming obedient unto death, then he received the crown. That is, he's crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Can I tell you something? When we take up a cross, there's a crown. There's a crown on the other side. Oh yeah, there's a crown on the other side. But wait a minute. Number one, selfie. Number two, Satan. We can follow Satan. Look what Paul said again. He said in verse number 7. Verse 6, you became followers of us
and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost. Satan wants us to follow him. You see, beloved, the devil's come to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus came to give us life and give it more abundantly. I think this is very interesting what I'm fixing to tell you. Do you know what? How many read in the paper last week they so-called found the solution of the origin of the earth, the Big Bang theory? Did you see that? Did you hear about that? Did you read that? I cut out an article. Yeah, God said bang, hello. And it was that. But wait a minute. You know, evolution teaches that man came from a beast and is going to a higher order from a single cell, amoeba, paramecium, through the process of mutation and radiation, that man is evolving and becoming his own God. But wait a minute, contrary to the theory of evolution, I might add, God says we were made in the image of him. Hello? And we are, watch this, we are not going, we didn't come from the beast, but we're headed to the beast. Revelation 13, verse 16 through 18, God said, in that day, see, this is the devil's plan. The devil's trying to get everybody to follow him. And if the devil gets you to follow him, he knows he's got you. You see, Revelation 13, 16 through 18, John said, he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or their forehead, that no man might buy or sell, save he that hath the mark of the beast, hearing his wisdom. Let him that hath understanding understand. It's the number of a man. This is my moonshine, amen. That's unsweet tea if you're wondering. Anyway, he said he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, to receive a mark in the right hand for him, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark of the beast. The devil wants us to follow him. The devil's setting a trap. How many young people do you know that are saying they're hearing voices these days? How many older people you know that are hearing voices these days? You know that devil's a dirty devil, and he'll lie to you in a minute. He'll try to listen, but wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. What does God say about that? 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Receive not every spirit, but do what? Test the spirits. See whether they be God or not. How many believe the devil's real? How many believe that demons are real? You better test that spirit and say, in the name of Jesus, Jesus is Lord. How many believe, praise God? I tell you all this all the time. I don't know why. Got up at 2 o'clock in the morning, couldn't sleep last night. Was out walking at 4 o'clock this morning. I just couldn't hardly wait to get to church. But I know that the devil was trying to lie to me even in the morning. I said, Satan, get behind me. In the name of Jesus. There is power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. And look at this. Who are you following? Are you following Satan? Are you following selfie? Are you following third society? Society. Here's the real dilemma we have as Christians. Here's our real challenge. Is to be in the world, but not of the world. Right? Because greater is he that's in me than he is in the world. See, as a child of God, the world is pulling on us. Anybody feel that pull? To get us distracted from spiritual things. And there's some things out there that aren't necessarily bad. But it's, hey, watch this. Can I be honest with y'all? It's hard to keep our emotions. It's hard to guard our hearts with so much stuff coming at us every day. Amen? Every day. Let me give an example. I've never watched this March Madness, college basketball. Never. But I hear about it. And then I notice the last couple of days, that's all that's been in the paper, March Madness. How many know that Mercer University beat Duke University? That's all that's in the paper. All of a sudden, here's why I'm saying that. All of a sudden, I find myself drifting off. Now, I set y'all for a trap. If any of you stay home and don't come to church tonight, I know y'all watching the ball game at 6:15. They're playing Tennessee. I checked that out, all right? Hey, but anyway. But really, I find myself being taken away, man. John says this, love not the world, neither the things in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of God, but of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God shall abide forever. This is what Paul said. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Can I just be point blank with you? Can I be point blank with you? Can I get down to the nitty gritty? Here's the nitty gritty. In this world of ours, we're to live, but praise God, not be so entangled with the things of the world. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. John wrote and said this, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Can I tell y'all something? Here's what I was going to tell you a moment ago. The government wants us to think they're God. The government ain't God. But the government wants us to become dependent upon them. I know that God sets up government according to Romans chapter 13. I know we need to pray for those in authority. But you can't you see it, brother? Can't you see it, sister? The government is trying to make us feel like they're God, and we got to depend upon them. I've got news for the government. Our nation was not founded on our banks, but on our Bibles. Our nation was not founded on our gold, but on our God. Our nation was not founded on our silver, but our Savior. This nation, one nation under God. Unfortunately, it's one nation going under. And praise God, America the beautiful, she's losing her beauty. That's why God's calling some saints. God's calling some men. God's calling some women. Hey, you can make a difference. Stand up, soldier. We have not lost the battle. We've read the last page and know how this thing's going to turn out. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. By the way, when I take my last breath and when my heart beats for the last time, and that's going to happen to every one of us, I want you to know I'm not going to go to the White House. I'm going to go to my Father's house. Amen and amen and amen. Jesus said, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'd go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself. Where I am, there you may be also. Yes, we ought to understand. Here's my conclusion of the matter. We ought to understand that God, according to Romans 13, sets those in leadership position over us. And we must, by the grace of God, pray for them as salt and light. But wait a minute. When it conflicts with this blessed book right here, when it says for us to do things that this word says not to do, we had better obey God than obey men. Can I get somebody to say amen? That's what the book of Acts chapter 5 and 29 says. Well, society, here is Sephi, Satan, society. Number 4, Savior, the Savior. Jesus wants us to follow him. He said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. He said, I'm the way, the truth. No man comes to the Father. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Tell me, are you taking up a cross and following him? Tell me, have you decided to follow Jesus? I'm looking around at the crowd today. I see some gray hair. I know there's a lot of us here. We've gone too far now. We can't turn back now, child of God. We got to take up a cross, keep marching under the bloodstained banner of the cross, because the best is yet to come. Don't give in. Don't give out. Don't give in. Don't give up, but rather keep giving out. I pray God will stir you up today to see this is not a hopeless situation. Bless God, I've read Jesus is coming again. He's going to sit on his throne. But wait a minute, here's the deal. Who are you following? Who are you following? A little girl was following her mama around the house one day. I mean, right on her footsteps. Any grandparents and mamas know what I'm talking about. That little girl, she followed mama everywhere she went, all around the house. Every time the mama would turn, the girl would follow her, right in her shadow, right in her footsteps. Finally, the mama whirled around and said, honey, what are you doing? The little girl said, mama, I'm following you because you're the only Jesus I can see.
I want you to know people are watching you and me. They're watching us. They see when your card is gone. Those neighbors see you carrying your Bible. Those neighbors know when you're praying. Those neighbors know when you're reaching out to somebody. I want to tell you, soldier, keep on marching. Keep on fighting. Number two, not only who you're following, but number two, and I'll be brief, is what are others saying about you? I can tell you a lot about yourself. Tell me about yourself. I can tell you a lot about yourself, about what others are saying about you. Look at verse number seven. So then you are examples. You are examples. Paul saying this church, hey, that crowd over there, Corinth made a pledge and they didn't pay up the pledge. And so Paul sent his helpers over there to collect that pledge. And the Corinth church had heard about Macedonian churches, Thessalonica, Philippi, and Berea, and some of the other churches. I'm telling you, listen, I want to say this again. People in our community know when we have vacation Bible school. People in our community know when we have meetings and men's meeting and old-fashioned. People in our community know when we're about the Father's business. And I say, not because, listen to me, we don't want men's approval. We're not out to try to please men. We're out to please God. But praise God, if any of them hear about it and hear that, thank God, there's some folk who love Jesus. Not perfect, mind you, but praise God, there's room for more in the house of God. There's room for more. What are they saying about you? Two things, and I'll be done. Number one, watch this. This is going to shock you. Put on your seatbelt. Is there enough evidence to convict you you're a Christian? Is there enough evidence? Would somebody know you're a Christian by watching you? Would somebody know you're a Christian by watching you? By the way, lost people can do good things. But good works won't get you to heaven. The Bible teaches, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If works could get us to heaven, we didn't need Jesus to die on the cross. Hey, listen. What are others saying about you? What are they saying? I know that man. Not only is he a good man, but he's a godly man. I know that woman. She's not only a good woman, she's a godly woman. She's a Christian woman. He's a Christian man. What are others saying about you and me? Is there enough evidence to convict you of a Christian? I heard about a little girl, and I'm going to be done here in a moment. You hear about the little girl. She went to the pet shop and decided to get a goldfish. And she took the goldfish home. She had to name that goldfish. The old girl's only 7 years old now, keep in mind. She gets the goldfish. She takes the goldfish home. She puts that goldfish in a little bitty old container. And the mom was wondering, what are you going to name your goldfish? You know what she named the goldfish? Sparingly. Have you ever heard of such? Sparingly. The mama said, where in the world did you come up with a name like Sparingly? And the little girl said, look, mama, it's on the goldfish food right here. It says, feed your goldfish sparingly. Sparingly. You know what, beloved? God doesn't want us to serve him sparingly. Hello. God doesn't want us to love him sparingly. No, God wants our all. He deserves our all. He's worthy of our all. Tell me, as you're all and all in him. Here's the deal. In the church, you got cop-out Christians. In the church, you got hold-out Christians. In the church, you got drop-out Christians. But then you got all-out Christians in the church. Tell me, are you an all-out Christian? Can God depend on you? Is it just a convenient thing? What are others saying about you? It makes a difference. Is it good? Is it bad? Or is it ugly? Our testimony is important, isn't it, Brother Jim? Our testimony is important, isn't it, Brother Claude? Our testimony, Brother Yars and Brother Bill. Our testimony, Brother William. Our testimony, Brother Charles. Our testimony, Brother Calvin. It's important. It's important. Here's the deal, Brother Justin. Here's the deal, Brother Curtis. Here's the deal, Brother Julius. And God reminds me of this. There I go yet by the grace of God. Listen to me. Listen to me, Brother Richard. I wish I didn't have to say this. But if you fall, I say if you fall, you're going to take some other folks with you. If you fall,
I'm not saying you're perfect. I'm not saying you're not going to slip. But you mark it down. The devil's crowd has got their pens out there.
Yeah, I hear about all these Christians, and they're no better than anybody else. And they're watching you and me like a hawk. I realize that I'll fail tomorrow outside the grace of God. Can somebody help me there? But if you fall, man, if that, nothing else keeps you from falling, that ought to really motivate you not. If you fall, Brother Mark, you're going to take some focus. It's like a tree that falls in the forest. When a big oak tree falls, man, it just tears down stuff that's in its way. If you fall, we dare pray God keep us from falling. Keep us from falling.
And let me say this. Duck Dynasty. I've not watched it. Not one single one. I'm not saying that to Zier, nay, it doesn't matter. I'm glad they took a stand about same-sex marriages. Can I get somebody to say amen?
Amen.
But wait a minute. Did you read last week? I'm not trying to be critical, but I'm just saying it's so easy to compromise. I read last week in the Christian Index. Now they're signing some contract with a wine outfit. Did y'all hear that? Read that? What do you think about that? As far as I'm concerned, it begins to tarnish their testimony. Listen, when God elevates you and puts you and me in a position, it's only His grace that keeps us. But listen, brother and sister, people are watching us. They know about us. And God, help us to love Jesus, keep our eyes on Jesus, and run the race, and keep the faith, and keep going strong for God until He calls us home. Amen. And amen and amen. So, what are others saying about you? You've come too far, Brother Claude. 86 years old. 86. 87. You've come too far. Is anybody older than Brother Claude? 87. You've come too far now. You can't turn back now. You can't let up now. You can't go back now. You've got to keep marching. You've got to keep sharing. You've got to keep telling. You've got to keep loving. You've got to keep blazing the trail for those grandchildren. Bernice is in heaven. We stood around her bedside back in August and saw her faithful to the finish. She fought the good fight. She kept the faith. Praise God, she's with Jesus now. She left a legacy. She handed the baton and said to the children, she said to Dan, she said to Barbara, she said to those grandchildren, Leah, she said to Ansley and those great grandchildren, hey, I'm at the end of my course. It'll be wonderful to get to that end, but it ain't there yet. We've got to stay faithful to God. And the church said, amen. And amen and amen. Let's stand together. Can we today?